ॐ भरतम् ॐ भरताय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतितां पुराणमिमा मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् मनसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भगवद्वैषिणी चातुर्वर्ण्यं मया सृष्टम् चातुर्वर्ण्यं मया सृष्टम् गुणकर्मविभागशः तस्य कर्तारमपि माम् तस्य कर्तारमपि माम् विद्यकर्तारमव्ययम् विद्यकर्तारमव्ययम् चातुर्वर्ण्यम् मया सृष्टम् गुणकर्मविभागशः तस्य कर्तारम् अपि माम् विद्धि अकर्तारम् अव्ययम् So here Krishna, he says, Chaturvarnyam. Chatur means four. Varnya, the Varna, the four castes. The Varna are the castes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The Brahmana caste, the Kshatriya, warrior caste, Vaishya, business, Shudra, helping profession. So these four Varnas, we're just going to call them Varnas. These four Chaturvarna, these four varnas, maya shrishtam, were created by me. Shrishtam comes from srij, srij. Ja goes to sha, sha goes to ka, past passive participle, shrishtam, okay? So, maya shrishtam. So, these four varnas were created from srij to create, past passive participle, were created maya by me. Guna, by me means by the Lord, by Ishwara. By me, Krishna talking as Ishwara now. Okay. Guna, karma, vibhagashaha. And these are divided in different ways. Guna vibhaga, there's the division by guna, and the guna means quality, and the division by karma. This is something that is not usually understood. So these varna, this caste system, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, these are four varnas that can be looked at from the standpoint of one's qualities or from the standpoint of one's karma. Now, where you were going to relate this to, I've talked about this before in terms of sannyasa. A person can take sannyasa, means they're wearing the orange. That's their lifestyle. You know, that's in a sense their karma. They've taken the sannyasa. They've taken orange, and now they're living the life of a sannyasi. Or they can have sannyasa by guna, means by quality, right? So here, a person can be a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra by karma. Means you're born into that, and you have certain duties that you're expected to perform in society. Or by guna, you are a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra by guna. So we'll see what that means, but just understand the difference. Guna vibhaga, karma vibhaga. So separated by distinguished by karma, or distinguished by guna. Okay. So Krishna says, I am responsible for this. The creation comes like this. The creation, my creation. This creation, which is mine, I'm the karta of this creation. And this fourfold division is something that has been created by me as Ishwara, as the karta. So now in the second line he says, tasya kartaram apimam. Kartaram is from kartra, kartra ending noun. Kartaram is the accusative singular. So, created by me. So, tasya kartaram apimam. That api, even though I am the doer of that, of them, I am the creator of those varnas. Okay, even though me, this me, I am the me who, even though the creator of these, then vidhi. Vidhi comes from vid, vidhi. May you know. Actually, for the imperative, for these you haven't learned, these are outside of the first, fourth, sixth, and tenth gunas, the second gunna, for the verb vid, to know. Vid plus the affix he, which is the imperative affix. I'm giving you a little bit of Sanskrit here for those of you who can make use of it. It just goes some scars. So, you know. So say that vid plus he, by sundi, that he becomes di. So vidi, may you know. Okay? So may you know mom, me, accusative singular. Even though it says, even though may you, even though I am the karta, the doer of this, the one, the creator of this creation and all of these varnas, even though I am the creator, may you know me, mom, akartaram, as being not the creator. Know me as the creator of all of this, of this creation, of these four varnas. But that one who is the creator, know me also. I am not the karta. I am not the creator. I, because avyayam, I never waver. I never change in any way. As Brahman, I'm not doing anything. I'm not becoming anything. I'm not creating anything. So know me as, well, I'm the karta, all right. Because this creation doesn't come from anybody else. This is my creation. And so if you say to me, are you the creator of this? I would say yes. But at the same time, I have to say, no, I'm not the creator. So Swamiji has a beautiful section on this. I'll probably get to it later, but let me touch on it a little bit now. He uses this example, that in the world, if you were to put your hand in fire, the fire burns you. And then you say to the fire, did you burn me? Did you just burn me? The fire would have to say, yes, I burned you. But I didn't burn you. I burned you, but I didn't burn you. Why? Because I did no act to burn you. But by your action, you became burned by me. And the same fire could heat the pot, could warm the hearth. The same fire can do so many things. So how you've approached that particular fire, you receive the pola from that approach. So yes, I burned you, and no, I didn't burn you. Right? Yes, this is my creation, but no, I did nothing to create it. But it's nobody else's creation. As a karta, this creation has come from me, sustained by me, and resolves back into me. As a karta means as one who has not done anything. My own swarupa, as Brahman, as the conscious being that I am, is avyaya. Avyaya navyeti means the conscious being that I am never wavers. It never goes away from itself. There's no doership at all involved in consciousness. So myself is stable. It's not doing anything. And yet, this creation is from me, sustained by me, and resolves into me. And nobody else is doing it. And so if you say, is this your creation? I have to say, yes, this is my creation. Did you decide to make this, these four varnas? The brahmanas and the kshatriyas and the vaishyas and the shudras, did you decide that? No. I didn't do that. But this is the nature of the creation. And so now, so Swamiji talks like that about, he really enjoy his bhasha on this. The thing is, this division is something that It's simply, it's a way in it's the way that we can divide up the creation in terms of groups of people. So let's look at it, exactly what it means. If we say the Maya has three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. The sattva is responsible for thinking, for the reflection of consciousness. It's all sattva. Thinking, the reflection of consciousness. And so all dharma is dharma, shanti, thinking, the buddhi. All of these things are just pure sattva. Okay? Rajas has to do with activity. Tamas has to do with lethargy and dullness. In terms of gunas now. So sattva, rajas, and tamas. And everybody has a mix of these. We're just talking about humans. Every human being has a mix of sattva, rajas, and tamas. Because remember, the whole creation, the whole Maya, is only sattva, rajas, and tamas. And so now, if we're looking at sattva, rajas, and tamas in terms of the antakarana, we're looking at it in terms of your disposition. And so in terms of your disposition, we're going to say that you have a mix of sattva, rajas, and tamas, as do all beings. Some people, and the disposition we're calling guna, means quality. Some people's mix of gunas, of sattva, rajas, and tamas, are going to be predominantly sattva. Then secondary would be rajas, and third would be tamas. So if you're predominantly sattva, that means there's a certain peace, shanti in the mind, a certain objectivity where the buddhi is in control. Right? And so that person is much more apt to, we would say, enjoys a natural sense of dharma, a natural sense of shanti, has objectivity and clarity of thinking. Rajas would come, if rajas and rajas backs that up, it means their activities are going to be pervaded and controlled by sattva. Okay? And so the person's activity will be dharmic. The tamas is third, and so it doesn't carry very much weight. That lethargy and dullness and laziness is something that doesn't carry very much weight because sattva is in control of the rajas, right? And the rajas is in control of the sattva, so in control of the tamas. And so tamas doesn't play much of a part. Such a person, by disposition, is called a brahmana. And it's that person who has antakarana shuddhi. It's that person, and it's that mix of sattva, rajas, and tamas, with sattva predominant, that we work for in terms of karma yoga, in order to gain an antakarana shuddhi. If we gain antakarana shuddhi, that's what we have. Predominantly sattva, and that sattva guides our actions in the world. And tamas is not overpowering us. Such a person is a brahmana. Such a person can gain nishtha in this knowledge. And this would be the result also of karma yoga, which then gives you the antakarana shuddhi that allows you to hold this knowledge. Now, what if rajas is predominant, and then sattva, secondary, and then tamas? We'd say that person is a kshatriya. For that person, their energy, activity rules. They're doers, you know. But because sattva is secondary, they'll be inclined toward dharma. Even though their life isn't one of steady or contemplative, they're an actor. They have energy, but such an energy to act in the world. But if rajas is backed by the sattva, then they would make a wonderful leader, the kshatriya, who would be a very, very good leader. See? And so those are the type of people that we want to be our leaders and our generals and our warriors. People who have that type of energy, but it's backed by sattva. Now say a person, again, is rajas, but backed by tamas. backed by tamas, and in sattva in third place, then that person is not so concerned about dharma. Right? That person has energy, but we call that person more a vaishya, by guna. I'll explain that, but vaishya by guna, vaishya by quality. Because what they're concerned with can be me, making money. Dharma isn't predominant. It's power, money, what I need to make myself happy, wheeling, dealing, all of this type of thing. We would say that's vaishya by guna. Okay? That's rajas with tamas and sattva. Shudra, the shudra would be tamas is predominant. The tamas means there's a general lethargy. Your life isn't really involved with ambition or with thinking. The ambition would be rajas. Thinking and subtlety would be sattva. Energy, ambition, you know, power, control, all of these things is rajas. Tamas is lethargy, not wanting to think very much. So you'll go like this. Tamas, rajas, sattva. It's never going to be tamas, sattva, rajas. Tamas, rajas, sattva. And so then your activity, you'd be considered by guna, kshudra. And so really you can be just, you know, do what you need to do to get by, that type of thing. And even when it's dharma doesn't necessarily play that much into it. It's just do what you need to do, minimal type of thing. So these are divisions that we can divide the world into. You don't have to, say if you want to divide the world into types. I mean, there's hundreds of ways we could divide the world. This is one way. To divide it according to sattva, rajas, and tamas in this particular mix. And so the brahmanas are the ones who are predominantly sattva. Kshatriyas are predominantly rajas with sattva backing it. Vaishyas are predominantly rajas with tamas backing. Right? Shudras are predominantly sattva, tamas with rajas backing. And so these are just four ways of being in the world. It's through karma yoga, say for a mumukshu, who, to get in even into any type of mumukshutvam, probably have to be at a level of rajas with tamas, with sattva backing. Right? Because your concern is for dharma. Until you're there, where you rajas, sattva, tamas, your concern really isn't for dharma, your concern is for me and for making money and doing what needs to be done. That's where your drishti is. So say your drishti. Drishti means your vision, you know, your vision in life, how you view life. Once you're at rajas, which is the active principle, with backed by sattva, then you have a sense of dharma, right? Your activities have a sense of dharma because the sattva is there. And so from this point on, your mind, you can be a mumukshu. You can be a mumukshu and you'll be working toward sattva, rajas, tamas. A more contemplative mind. That's all it is. It's working toward a more contemplative mind. And karma yoga starts playing into this. And so this is just, it's a way. It's a way of dividing up the world. And this type of division, we make it in various ways, no matter what your culture is. But this is one way that kind of works for us, especially in terms of gaining antakarana shuddhi. You know, in terms when we're talking about sattva, rajas, and tamas, maya having sattva, rajas, and tamas, and then looking at your disposition in these terms, it'll just give you kind of a sense of what it means to have a mind that is predominantly sattva, and understand that in terms of purity of mind, in terms of antakarana shuddhi. It's very beautiful. So now, say if we just look at humanity, human beings is divided in this way. That's by guna, by their quality. Here guna is being used as quality. Sattva, rajas, and tamas are called the three gunas. When we use guna that way, we're talking about the three, like the three strands. Right? The three strands that come together, the three ropes that come together of sattva, rajas, and tamas that make maya. Maya is only comprised of sattva, rajas, and tamas. But the word guna has different meanings. guna can also mean a positive attributes. You know, this person has wonderful gunas. They're talking about positive attributes. But guna also means just quality in general. So here when they say guna karma vibhagashaha, we're talking about quality in general. And such a person's, their disposition, can be a combination of sattva, rajas, and tamas. But now also, in the tradition, in the Hindu tradition, the varnas are also by karma. And they're something that you're born into. In other words, you can be born into the brahmana varna. Your parents were brahmanas. Right? And so if your parents were brahmanas, you will be a brahmana. You'll be a brahmin when you're born. Your parents were kshatriyas, you will be a kshatriya. By birth. You're born into it. It's not that you can be, you can't, if your parents are kshatriyas, you're a kshatriya. Period. You are a kshatriya by karma. If your parents are Vaishya, you're Vaishya. If your parents are Shudra, you're Shudra. By karma. And now when we look at it by karma, Brahmanas have certain duties. Their duties really are to be priests and the educators in the temples. And to be teachers. Those are the Brahmanas. Priests and teachers, basically. The Kshatriyas are the leaders. The ministry. The warrior class. Those are the Kshatriyas. The Vaishyas are in agricultural and business. By trade, right? By trade. The Shudras are the helping professions. So this is, now, this is different than by guna. And this is what's usually not understood. You can be born as a Vaishya. Say you're born as a Vaishya. It means you're born as a, where your family's profession has to do with business or agriculture. So you're born into that. But by disposition, by guna, you can be Vaishya, you can be Shudra, you can be Kshatriya, you can be Brahmana. It's the same. You can be born as a Brahmana, but you can be by disposition any of the form. You understand what I mean? You could be a Brahmana by birth, and you find yourself being a priest or a teacher, but your disposition is one of a kshatriya, where you're very ambitious. You're a leader and you're ambitious. Or it could be a vaishya. You want to make the most out of it, as much money as you can make, you know, doing rituals for people. Or you can be a vaishya. You can be a shudra by disposition. And just kind of dull and lazy brahmana. When we're talking by disposition, right? See, we don't usually make this. So we don't usually understand this distinction. So you'll think of a person, the person's a brahmana. That person is, you know, you see, they have that brahmana. He's a brahmana. Therefore, they have antakarana shuddhi. See what I'm saying? They're born as a brahmana. Therefore, they have antakarana shuddhi. Therefore, they have, you know, a brilliance of intellect and so much shanti and peace. Oh, that person's a shudra. They're just lazy and dull. Born as a shudra, they're lazy and dull. That vaishya. Vaishya, they're just a shrewd businessman. They're a vaishya. They're a shrewd businessman. Person's a kshatriya. They're like a warrior. So what you do, what we normally think of, we superimpose the guna, the brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra guna, onto the karma. And that's where you have to understand the difference. That's important, because otherwise you say that person's a shudra, they can't be a mumukshu. Right? Because only a brahmana really can be have the antakarana shuddhi, the ability to gain knowledge. But whether you're a brahmana or a vaishya by karma, you know, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra by karma, by guna you can be a brahmana. Or by guna you can be a shudra. Right? And so it's by guna that's important here in terms of jnanam. Because by guna, what in the end, what has to happen in terms of antakarana shuddhi, in terms of emotional maturity, what has to be dominant for you is your buddhi. Right? That's where the shanti is. Not the manas isn't dominant. Right? Or the rajas is not dominant. The buddhi is dominant. which means the buddhi itself is shanti. If you're with your buddhi, there's shanti. That's why, you know, sometimes in meditation, as a meditative technique, one thing that we'll do, like before, especially before japa, before doing the mantra, we'll do additions and subtraction. Like, I've done this several times, but maybe you don't remember. Sometimes, if I'm teaching japa, this technique I'll teach. All right, you just add these numbers and subtract. And I'll do it for a little while. Five. This is from Swamiji, it's not from me, but I use it too. 5 plus 4 plus 6 plus 10 plus 8. You do this for a minute or so. Why? Because this puts the buddhi in control. The manas can't do that. Nothing can do this except the deep mind. Only the buddhi is capable of doing it. And so now, say we're doing this addition and subtraction, then you notice where the numbers are rising from. And then you put the mantra there. And also in the doing of that addition and subtraction, just in that process, the manas has to move out of the way. Everything has to move out of the way because the buddhi is the only one that can handle addition and subtraction. Right? And it requires that concentration. And so it takes you, the buddhi is shanti. Right? The buddhi is the one that comes in. The manas, it's a nice way to understand it. The manas can be and is the emotional tempest. You know, think of somebody hurts your feelings or something happens that throws you off, some projection or whatever it is, throws you off. There's an emotional tempest. Think of an ocean, you know, and in a storm. How the waves, there's a huge storm going on and the waves are rising up and crashing and rising up and crashing. There's a tempest. Right? That's the manas. Look at the whole, at the ocean, kind of the chittabhasa, the mind itself, right? Is now in a tempest because somebody's hurt your feelings or said something or material's coming from inside. So here the manas is just going crazy, crazy, crazy. The buddhi is the one that either gets sucked into that tempest, or the buddhi, because of training, because you've learned, the buddhi can objectify the tempest, right? And talk to it, you know, and help it to settle down. And so it's the buddhi, really, that brings knowledge to the tempest, to the manas, that is all of a sudden creating so much pain, right? Until the buddhi understands and it gains strength, when the manas is creating all of that pain, it tends to overwhelm the buddhi. I mean, think of your like if you're a little rowboat in the middle of the ocean and a big storm comes up, the waves are just crashing over the boat so badly that the boat kind of gets tipped over. So here, the buddhi, as you gain knowledge and also understanding of how to be with your mind and how to be with the world, the buddhi remains something that can help the manas. And that's the sattva. The buddhi is that sattva. It speaks to the manas. It itself is calm. You know, and it can talk to the manas, the tempest, the upset one, and help it to calm down. Help it to bring it home. You know? Bring it back to a state of sattva. Bring the manas back into a state of sattva. The rajas settles down. Right? And so the sattva that is predominant, you know, can bring the mind home. That's what I was talking about in the meditation. It can bring the mind home, bring the mind to rest. So now as you learn this and as you gain knowledge where the buddhi itself begins to know that the source of the ananda you seek is your own being. The source of fullness, the source of ananda is yourself. And the buddhi is not away from that self. The buddhi becomes stronger and stronger and stronger because of its knowledge, it knows that the tempest that's being created by the manas is mithya and foolish. It means it's not real. The reasons for it are not real. Because what it is seeking for fullness where fullness isn't. And so because the buddhi knows that, it can bring the manas back. And in bringing the manas back, it gets its peace again, and then it can act objectively in the difficult situation. Right? It brings the manas back, and then it acts in the difficult situation. Because it's not like the world isn't difficult. Sometimes it's fine, and sometimes it's very, very tough. And it's not kidding. I mean, it's very tough. It's meant to hurt you. It's meant to really throw you off and really upset you. It's just, you know, nobody escapes it. You're not going to escape the very, very challenging situations. But for a mumukshu, those very, very challenging situations become your sadhana. This challenging situation. And it doesn't mean that your mind is the master of it immediately either. Yeah. So some things in the creation block, they rock you. But then, your buddhi is strong because of your knowledge, and you know how to bring the mind home. That's a beautiful thing. That, and as it becomes strong, the tempest becomes weak compared to it. Right? What the mind is capable of doing becomes very weak compared to the strength of the buddhi. And the mind loves that because the buddhi is strong. It's like having a very strong parent, very, very safe home. Your home becomes safer and safer and safer because the buddhi itself is strong and can handle the tempest of the monks. You understand what the image is there? So, that's what's necessary for knowledge, that satra, rajas, and that brahmana vaiguna. Okay. So, here Krishna says, I have created this whole creation. This comes from me. All of it. But I have no kartritvam in it. No doership. I didn't decide to make it this way or that way. I didn't decide that this be superior or this be inferior. I don't even see it like that. This is one infinite expression of myself. And some parts of those expressions are painful. You know? And some are not. It depends on how you are responding. And so the kartritvam, bhoktritvam, means the doership, enjoyership. That's happening within the creation, right? By the ones who are owning kartritvam. You know kartritvam? It means doership. Kartra, doer. Bhoktra, enjoyer. So if I say kartritvam, right, that tvam, doership. Bhoktra, doer. Bhoktritvam. Bhoktra, enjoyer. Bhoktra, tvam, enjoyership. Right? So these things, you know, this means that I as a jiva have identified, right, with upadis to take myself to be a doer and an enjoyer, and I am responding to the world in that way. But for myself as Ishvara, Krishna talking, I have no kartritvam and bhoktritvam. I am Brahman. For me, this creation is a natural expression. It's like the sun. If you think of the sun, we'll use an example like this. The sun has no kartritvam, bhoktritvam. The sun doesn't say, I am shining upon you. I have decided to shine upon you. I've decided to light you up. The sun hasn't made any such decision. And yet, the sun is lighting you up. Right? If the sun is doing that, so if you were to ask the sun, are you lighting me up? Yes. Yes, I light up the world. Are you lighting me up? No, I'm not doing anything. I'm both lighting you up and I'm not doing anything. And so Ishvara says, I am both doing all of this and I'm not doing anything. Did that? There's no kartritvam, there's no doership, there's no bhoktritvam, because I'm Brahman. I am the conscious being from which all of this comes. For me, I'm avyayam. Avyayam navyeti. Means I never waver from my state. Navyeti means I don't go away from my swarupa. It means the swarupa, the nature that I am always that. So the satchitananda, the conscious being that I am always that, only that. There's never any wavering, there's never becoming anything else. So that is my swarupa. But that swarupa, that nature, with the maya upadhi, this whole creation comes, sustained, and it resolves. And it is my creation, it's nobody else's. But I do nothing to make that happen. See? So that's what he says here in this verse. And then he goes to the next to explain more, more about this. Namam karmani limpanti. Namam karmani limpanti. Name karma palais praha. Name karma palais praha. Iti mam yo pijanati. Iti mam yo pijanati. Karma bitterness above jite. Karma bitterness above jite. Namam na mam. Karmani limpanti na me karma pale spraha iti mam yaha abhijanati karma bihi na saha bhajyate. He says, Shankar introduces this verse. He says, of all of those actions, yesham tu karmanam, karmanam, he says, of all of these, all of the actions, all of the karmas, meaning creating the creation, all of this, creating this Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, of all of these karmas, okay, All of these karmas which you, Arjuna, take me to be the karta of, you take me to be the creator of all of these things, he says, paramartitaha tesham akarta eva aham. In reality, paramartitaha. In reality, he says, akarta eva aham. You know, tesham. Of them, I am a karta. I am not their creator in reality. So he says, yataha, because. That's how Shankara introduces this. He says, because namam karmani limpanti. Karmani nalimpanti. These karmas, the karmas, they don't touch me. Limpanti means they don't touch me, they don't stain me at all. To stain or to blot or to get near me, they don't touch me. These karmas don't touch me. Name karma pale spraha. He says, nor for me, me. Is there karma pale in regarding the karma pala, the fruits of the karmas, spraha, any type of desire? I have no spraha. I have no desire. There's no spraha. Desire, yearning, longing, wanting, or any kind of attachment toward the karma pala, there is no such thing. It doesn't exist. Right? So the karmas themselves, they don't touch me at all, nor is there any type of longing for the result. So what does that mean? No kartritva? Because the karmas, the actions, don't touch me, they don't stain me, they have nothing to do with me. The actions themselves don't touch me, so nakartritvam, there's no kartritvam. And I have no longing desire at all for any of the fruits. So no bhoktritvam. So I'm not neither the karta, the doer, nor am I the enjoyer. For me there's no such thing. So he says, iti thus, in this way, the karmas don't touch me. There's no longing for the karma pala. He says, mam yaha abhijanati. The one who knows me clearly, abhijanati, knows clearly, he who, mam, me, abhijanati, he who knows me clearly to be in this way. In this way means the whole top line. The karmas don't touch me, and I have no longing at all for the desires. He who knows me in this way, karma bihi na sabhajyate. Sabhajyate. He is not bound, passive from bund. Bhajyate, the yakara and the atmanepada. Sabhajyate. He is not bound, na bhajyate, karma bihi, by the karma. Okay. This is a Mahavakya. Because what it says is, it's a really, it's an incredible, incredible verse. The one who knows me, Ishwara, as being free from kartritvam, doership, and free from bhoktritvam, all of these things have nothing to do with me, they don't touch me at all. There is nothing about the self. And we have to go back to this other, the other verse, which says that the I am akarta and avyayam, means changeless. There's nothing about the self that can be distinguished, right? It has, it is only what it is. It is non-participatory in the creation, right? Because it's not a doer, it's not an enjoyer. So it has nothing to do with action at all. And so that self has nothing to differentiate it or distinguish it from any other thing, because it does nothing. It has no gunas. It's not involved. And so there's nothing to make that self different from any other self. So that's the idea. That's why it's a Mahavakya. So if you understand Ishwara as in this way, means the one from, you have to see it as the one from whom the whole creation has come, but who himself has not changed to become the creation. The one who sustains the whole creation, but who has not changed in any way to sustain the creation. The one into whom the whole creation resolves, but who has not changed in any way as the entire creation resolves into. Right? And so that, for that one, then, there is no dvaita, there is no duality. There are no parts at all. And so the one who knows me in that way must know, must recognize themselves as being only that. Right? The one who recognizes, because there's no way to differentiate or give any type of gunas or qualities to that self. And so there's no way to differentiate that self from myself. That's the idea. You have to go back into the previous verses to really understand this. But what he says is, so just like, listen to the whole verse. He says, first part, these karmas do not touch me at all. The action, the karmas, all of the actions, they don't stain me. They have nothing to do with me. They don't touch me. And for me, there is absolutely no desire for any type of karma phala. He says, the one who knows me in this way, then he says, then that person, karma bihi nasabhajyate, that person also is not bound by karma. Right? Because it's that person, that's the Mahavakya, that person, if you understand Ishwara in that, to understand Ishwara in that way, then you have to have knowledge. Because you can't, and otherwise Ishwara is a karta, and then you're a karta. Right? But if you understand Ishwara in this way, there is nothing but Ishwara. You see that? There can't be anything but Ishwara. And if there's nothing but Ishwara, then in fact you are Ishwara. Mm-hmm. Right? And so the one who understands Ishwara as being free of karta and bhokta in this way, then understands that Ishwara is something from whom the creation comes, is sustained and resolves. Ishwara is the whole, the changeless, the whole, and at the same time changeless. And that is who I am also. Mm-hmm. Because there isn't any also. There's no room. It's not really that's who I am also. It's that there is no one else. And so since there is no one else, I am that. That's the thing. Sometimes it's helpful to understand this. Like if you say, Advaita Vedanta. Advaita means one without a second. But the nature of reality is one without a second, is one alone. That's it. The nature of reality is one alone, one without a second. If that is true, then that is you. If there is only one, right? One without a second means the truth of this whole Maya is only one being. Then either you're not here or you are that. See what I'm saying? If you can say you are not here, then you're not that. But if you are here, then you are that. Because there is only one. Like, look at it, if you look at even though all examples in the creation have their own limitations, if we look at the wave ocean, and we say, looking at the wave ocean, there is only one thing here. So all the waves are listening, there's a guru wave is teaching. The guru wave is saying to all the multitude of waves, there's only one thing here, only one, one without a second. And that one thing is water. Nothing else. Then you have to say, either I am water or I don't exist. If it is true that there's only one thing, one without a second, and that one thing is water, you are either water or you don't exist. And so with that drishtanta, with that illustration, you could say, that's right. I am only water. And I do exist and I am water. So now, here, if the only thing here is the Lord, nothing else, and the truth of the Lord is Satchidananda, because the Mayupadi depends upon, just like the waves depend upon water for its being, the whole Mayupadi, the whole manifest knowledge, which is Ishvara, has for its truth Satyam Jnanam Anantam, conscious being. That is what is actually here. Then either you are that, or you're not here. But since you are here, you can only be that. You understand? There's nothing else, because there's not two. And so that means now here, in this room, here we are, all of this dvaita, this duality that we're experiencing here, we experience the duality through our sense organs. I see, I have the extension of space, so I see you, 10 feet from me and whatnot, and all of the diversity I experience through my sense organs. Fine. But all of this diversity, this manifest knowledge that we experience, has existent being for itself. Because it exists. All of this exists. All of this enjoys being, it is, it is, it is, it is, it is, you are, you are, you are, you are, I am, I am. There's nothing that doesn't enjoy being. Being is the water. The being is the water. Right? And there's nothing away from that water. And I would never say I am non-being. I am being, and then I say I am being in the form of this body. Well, maybe the wave will say, I am water in the form of the wave. All right. But really, you're only water. And I would say, I am being in this form, and you're being in that form. But I'd say, yeah, okay. But really, you're only being. And there's no division between the being of this form and the being of the space and the being of this and the being of this and the being of you. There's nothing that is dividing up the being. There's dividing up the nama rupas. Like there's wave, wave, wave. One wave is distinguishable from another wave, but nothing distinguishes the water. Like that, there's nothing here that's distinguishing being. And that being, what is its nature? Consciousness. Because just as there's nothing here differentiating being, there's nothing differentiating consciousness. It is, 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 whatever it is. And it also is known, it 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 is known. Is known, is known, is known. Sat chit, sat chit, sat chit, sat chit. There's nothing that's ever just sat. In your experience, it's always sat chit. Satchit is the common denominator, the all-pervasive in the sense that clay is all-pervasive to the pot, or water is all-pervasive to the wave. Satchit is all-pervasive to all experience. It is the very ground of being. It is what is actually here. And who is Satchit? Me. I'm not going to say I'm not a conscious existent being. It's just that because of ajnana, because of ignorance, I take the Satchit that I am to be limited to this body. The Satchit that I am is because the body is. That's ajnana. This Satchit, the conscious being that I am, is here because the body is. When the body goes, the Satchit will go. That's the ajnana. That's the ignorance. In fact, the body comes and goes, the Satchit remains. The mind comes and goes, Satchit remains. Moods come, the tempest comes and goes, Satchit remains. Satchit is there in and through all experience. So that's why the Hamsa bird comes in. The Viveka. The Hamsa bird? The Hamsa bird, the great myth of the Hamsa bird, comes to this basin of water. This little water, what do you call that? Like a bird bath. Filled, the bird bath, filled with a combination of milk and water. And the little Hamsa bird comes, puts its beak into that milk-water mix, and sucks out all of the milk. That's Viveka. You need to suck out the Satchit, because there's no place where it's not. And the problem is that from the upadhi, this is all the upadhi, from Ishwar, the Ishwar upadhi, which includes this body, mind, sense organs. There's no place that the Satchit is not. But from the standpoint of this Maya upadhi, there's also no place where the upadhi is not. See, I'm experiencing this Maya right now with my Maya eyes. My Maya eyes, my Maya ears, my Maya mind, my Maya body is experiencing the Maya world. And so Maya is experiencing Maya. But the self is pervasive. The whole Maya has no being apart from being itself, which is me. So the I is the conscious being, which is pervasive to the whole Maya. But then my sense organs and my mind, my little mind is different from your mind. And my mind is reflecting the self and saying, I am the self. And so now, instead of the mind recognizing itself as part of Ishwara, as part of the whole manifest knowledge, the whole manifest creation, you know, which is enjoying me, the Satchit, it thinks, because of ajnana, that because it is, the Satchit is. And it is because the body is, and the body is bound by time and space. And so now Satchit, which is me, becomes as limited as the body is, becomes as limited as the mind is. That's the ajnana. And so what Krishna is saying here, you know, once you recognize, if you understand myself as Ishwara, as being avyayam, somebody who is changeless, not karta, not bhokta, and avyayam. If you understand myself, and this creation comes from me, sustained by me, and resolves into me, then you also are as free from karma as I am. You are also are this. Right? In the same way that karmas don't touch me, in the same way that I am free of karmapala, you also are. Why? Because you are me. That's the vision. Mm. I'll stop there.
That's a good place to stop.
Purnamada, Purnamada, Purnat, Purnamadachate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva Vasishate, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurupyo Namaha. Harihi Om.